Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and today we're talking to Sumit Shahzad, the co-founder of Auto Capital, along with Sarthak Malhotra, Senior Associate at Matrix Partners India, as well as Vikram Vaidyanathan, Managing Director at Matrix Partners India. Auto Capital is a two-wheeler buying and financing innovator, and their vision as a company is to reimagine the two-wheeler buying and ownership experience for millions of Indians. We talk about the company's differentiated model and how they plan to bring this vision to life. Tune in.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Matrix Moments. I'm Sarthak, and today we have Sumit, founder of Auto Capital, and Vikram Vaidyanathan, Managing Director at Matrix Partners, who lead fintech investments for us. So let me quickly introduce our two guests. So Sumit leads Auto Capital, which is a e-commerce cum financing platform for two-wheelers. He's a serial entrepreneur. I think this is his fourth venture. He's an alumnus of IIT Bombay. Vikram leads Matrix Bangalore office, been with the fund for, I think, more than a decade now. He leads fintech and SaaS investments for us. So let's get going.
I'm going to pause and just introduce Sarthak. Sarthak's really the lead on the deal, has been with us for a few years now and is now leading fintech. And I'm going to share a quick anecdote about Sumit. This is a deal many years in the making for us because many people over Sumit's illustrious entrepreneurial career at Matrix have wanted to fund him. And somehow it hasn't happened. But the stars have finally aligned for the two of us to work with you, and we couldn't be more excited.
I agree, totally. Yeah.
Great. No, Sumit, so let me just start with a little bit of background, right? So as I said, this has been your fourth venture, and you first started your venture when you were still in IIT Bombay back in 2010, right? Like, startups wasn't a cool thing back then. So how did you make that decision, and then how has the journey been since then?
The background goes, I would say, way long back. So I started doing small business activities from my school days itself.
Wow.
So comes with a very humble middle class background. Want to play cricket matches where we put some money to win more money and want to do that. So start selling some basic stickers in my fifth, sixth class of standard and make some money and do it. So I'll say that's where the real hunch for doing something of own and entrepreneurship came in. I think IIT gave us a very strong platform. Being at IIT, all the resources being available, connects being available, inspired by the success of Jishan, Bhavin, alumnus of IIT, kind of given us, a fire that there is a possibility to do something and give it a try. And obviously the blood of Marwadi background definitely adds to it. So that's where I thought that there's nothing to lose about it. We were at IIT, great platform, nothing to lose. Give it a shot. If it works well, if you don't like it, go back. You have so many companies ready to take up an IITian who is still a failed entrepreneur. So that was something, and not easy, I would say. While I was trying to do this, as you mentioned, it was not a norm, right? In 2010, there is not something very usual for entrepreneurs to become an entrepreneur at college. And many people are looking at management, consulting kind of jobs, and my friends were having fun and playing games in IIT land, and I was like really working on my startup. 4 hours of startup, chemical engineering, pretty big thing. Talk to IITians, you will figure out, and spend a lot of time there. But I think that hard work, paid off in the subsequent years, has been able to do a good journey here.
Yeah.
So Sumit, one of the things that makes you stand out for us is that you've gone through lots of ups and downs, and lots of times, even in the auto journey, it wasn't cool, right? And it wasn't the hot startup. But whenever I met you, you would always be up, high energy. What has sort of kept you going through all of the ups and downs in that journey?
Yeah, so I think when you sign up for entrepreneurship, you sign up for this kind of a ride, right? It's a hell of a ride. There are highs and highs, while there could be lows and lows. So I say mentally, I was pretty much prepared for it. I think second thing that keeps me going is a persistence for the thing that I keep doing. So I always believed in the market, and I think that's also almost a long career of 10, a decade of entrepreneurship in such an age helps me out. That if there are times which are not very much right for maybe the idea that you're working upon. But if you really believe in it and if you keep hitting the nail, right, one day the time will come for you.
Apna time aega.
Apna time aega, correct, right? So I think that has been my mindset, that if I strongly believe in this problem, and I strongly believe that there is a big opportunity, maybe the time is not right today, but it will come tomorrow and I have to keep doing it to reach there, and maybe we have reached now.
Got it. Talk to us a little bit about, this is like fourth venture, right? So before Otto, what's the journey been like? What have you been up to?
So yeah, it's been an interesting journey, I would say. Started from a energy kind of industry, from my college days, pivoted to an ed tech company, moved to used two-wheeler industry, which is kind of e-commerce, came to Otto, which is kind of a fintech, lending, which is economy. So I generally say I've covered all the E's that kind of stand for a country's growth, like energy, education, e-commerce, economy. So everything has been kind of covered across. But again, journey has been exciting. Fundamentally, I've been an entrepreneur who has tries to connect to the problem, very customer-centric mindset that I have. And I try to associate with the problem and take it forward. So my personal experiences and the problems that I might have faced or I've seen people facing have always kind of given me that insights, the right insights to keep building a right business on it. And I think hopefully that has helped in making everything somewhere reach to a certain conclusion. So even all the four ventures, I would say, fortunately, nothing kind of went off. It's been somewhere they have been succeeded or kind of picked up by someone else to kind of lead it forward.
Yeah. And so you spoke about like how you try to relate to the problem, right? And you know, the passion for it. I know like Credar was also two-wheeler. Otto is also focused on two-wheelers. So how do you get, like, what's the story behind you associating yourself to this problem?
So yeah, I'll say, see, I come from Udaipur city, right? It's a tier 3 city, pretty famous though, but it's a tier 3 town. We have seen two-wheelers all across our life, right? I would not say, I could not even remember when I sat in the car for the first time, right? So my father used to have a Bajaj Chetak scooter. He used to have Lambretta before that, right? So I've seen scooters, I've seen motorcycles in my life. The friend who became a friend for me because he had a motorcycle. So we've seen vehicle, like two-wheelers was the life for us, like, and as youngsters, we were passionate about it. So, and when we came to Mumbai kind of city and come to the world of entrepreneurship, I saw that this category has been hugely ignored. Like, not many entrepreneurs have tried to pick up this particular category. There were, I would say, all the startups, if we talk about the auto industry, have focused on cars. The four-wheeler has been the core category. Maybe the universe, the stories outside India has been, global stories have been successful in that category. But I could clearly relate to that, because you have more than 100 million two-wheelers in the country have such a big problem in different, across different journeys or the ownership period of a two-wheeler, yet no one is trying to solve it. I think that association to this thing has really kind of kicked me to start different startups at different stages in this category.
Talk to us a little bit about Otto, right? What are you building? And you know, you come from like at Credar, you were building like a used two-wheeler marketplace. Now, what is Otto? I think for the benefit of our viewers, if you can explain what is Otto.
Yeah. So again, I'll go back to the way the industry is today, right? So what we're seeing here is, and I'll take an example here. So I'll take an example of my own brother, right? So my brother used to work at TCS in Gujarat and Gandhinagar. He bought a Suzuki XS there. It's a GJ number. He bought it there. Came to Bombay, started working with me at Credar then. Where to sell this bike? He transported his bike through a train to Mumbai. How to get a paper transfer done? Never did it. He was there with us. Okay. Then he moved to Western Union to Pune. What to do with the bike? Took a bike again to Pune. And then from Pune, he shifted to Bangalore at SAP Labs. What to do with the bike? He brought the bike back again, the scooter to Bangalore. Right now, this two-wheeler Suzuki XS has been with him with the same GJ number, traveling around the cities like he's traveling.
That's why all the models have unit economics of Suzuki Axis.
So this is my home example, and not the problem. If you see, the problem is that today's generation, the customer, don't want to go through the painful experience of ownership. And if he's gone through it, he don't want to repeat it again, right? So if you see what Otto is trying to do here is this age-old way or the concept of ownership, where a customer has to go through multiple places to figure out which is the right bike for him, have to apply to banks if he wants financing, go through a lengthy process, 4 or 5 days of waiting and multiple signing, and then get a bike. And once you get a bike, like everyone has gone off. Like, paisa de diya bank ne, dealer ne aapko gaadi de diya, now it's your choice. You do what you want to with this vehicle. He is not, no one is caring about, right? And as a customer, I don't know what to do it, right? And that's what we see is not a experience that a customer should have in the 2020s kind of a world. This was okay in 1980s. This was might be okay in 1990s, not in 2020s. And this is what Otto is trying to change. Otto wants to make a 10x simpler, affordable, and convenient way of owning a two-wheeler. Yeah. Starting from discovery, you think of buying a two-wheeler, you should think Otto. And Otto is going to help you and give you the sleekest experience possible to get your bike and own it for the next tenure that you want. So that's what we are doing at Otto.
Got it.
So sounds really cool, but no one wants to do it, right? And no one wants to do it for this two-wheeler user consumer, because they think paisa nahi hai.
Correct.
So how did you think about the fact paisa nahi hai?
So no, see, that's a fair point. I think one thing, so important to understand here is two-wheeler is indigenous tool, and hence the model to operate in this category has to be indigenized. If you are trying to copy a certain way of model have worked in a country like US or China or Japan, while not, cannot come directly and be used here. So if you talk about our concept as well, right? Outside India, if you talk about, and we are speaking starting from Otto's early days, leasing has been common across the country. But why not India? Mm-hmm. India is one of the big consumer of the auto industry, right? Yet financing is also pretty big, but leasing not happen, right? Because maybe the model cannot be just copied from Japan or US and bring it in India, right? You need to have indigenized way to, one, give that customer a comfort and acceptance. Second, build a model in a way where you also have enough money to make. Because these are both the things are equally important for the success of the business. That the scale has to be large, and then in that scale you are able to make your own money. So I think important for the model has been indigenization, which I think at many places people have not tried wholeheartedly. That I would might be the right word to say, and that has been our effort. That pick the problem where there is a real pain point for the customer or other stakeholders, and hence in the process solving that problem in the right way will also give you your money to make across.
So I just want to point out for our listeners a few things that we look for in founders, right? And deeply passionate about a problem, and you can see he's obsessed with two-wheelers. But then thinking just about every user pain point. And as you think about the pain points, it then leads to you to a journey of sort of figuring out where the value is for the user. And if you keep trying to solve that problem wholeheartedly, I think you can get to a business. But I think the last thing, most important, and maybe I want to go there, is that then you can figure out how to extract value.
Right? Yeah.
Because if you are obsessed, it's a large enough market, and then you've delivered a value prop, I think there are ways to extract value.
Yeah. Sure. No, actually, like, I'm going to get into that only, because, you know, this auto is somehow, as we say, e-commerce plus financing, right? And obviously there's ownership management as well. But like, Vikram, you've been championing this whole thesis around e-commerce, commerce plus lending, right? And I think we see, at least we believe here at Matrix, that a lot of this is possible in both B2B side as well as B2C side. Why don't you just give a flavor of what is that thesis? Why do you believe in it so much?
First, I think it's wrong to say that I am championing, because when I talk to my friends who are distributors and so on, they say, ye toh hum bhi kar rahe hain. Right, because that's what they've been doing forever, which is they're always doing commerce plus financing. And that's true, because every big transaction that they're doing has some commerce in it, which has a commerce distribution margin, but they also have financing margin. Mm-hmm. I'll give it to you after 10 days, I'll give it to you after 15 days, or I will give it to you in these installments, all of which is actually financing. So this is something that people have been doing for 100 years, and now we've sort of discovered. Now, I think there are opportunities in certain markets for you to do commerce plus financing. And the way we think about it is, one, in a consumer's life, there are important big purchases, right? Buying a mobile, buying a two-wheeler, which they keep for sufficiently long, and then they think about how they're going to own it, how it's going to impact their life. So it's a big purchase in their life. That big purchase cannot be made without financing. So it's just interlinked to how I will buy and how I will use it.
Right.
So companies that can optimize that total cost of ownership, which is what he said, which is how do I own it over the life of the asset? How do I buy it? How do I own it over the life of the asset? How do I resell it? How do I upgrade it? Companies that can solve all of that in an integrated manner are the companies that, that can do commerce plus financing. So of course, globally, you know, in China, we invested in a company called Fenchila, which did that for mobile phones. Raku Raku, which did something of the sort. And then we have Otto here. In the B2B space, I think every transaction has financing. Because the transaction is too large. The people on either sides are too smart. And they have different cash flows. And so every transaction there has financing linked to it. Of course, we have a company called Off Business, which has done quite well for us. And they figured out a way to extract enough value out of a transaction where people said this is a hard transaction to do and it doesn't have money, paisa nahi. But if you couple the distribution margin and the financing margin, they were able to extract value out of it.
No, and I think we've seen some of the financing first plays, like, you know, the BNPL guys, like an Afterpay or in Klarna or in a firm, right? Like, if I go on their website, it looks like a marketplace.
Correct.
It doesn't look like a financing company. But Sumit, switching gears to how the journey has been at Otto, right? I think you started back in 2018, went through a couple of pivots,
right.
And I think it really took off. Like, and this took off in the pandemic era, right? Mm-hmm. Post-pandemic, like, you've grown like 4x, 5x. Right. So talk to us about like what was the PMF that you hit there that has led to this kind of growth?
Correct. So exactly, right? So see, I'll talk about the way we thought of building this business. So one, we knew it's a long game, right? We never went into this business with a short-term mindset. We knew it will be a long game, considering the different stakeholders and the different the core businesses around the lending piece. So the first 1 year, 1.5 years was more about figuring out the process, setting up a team, doing certain kind of a product checks and experiments to figure out what is working well for us. So that was something that I would say, spent more of a time till March 2020 has been a time and kind of a time for us to kind of hit the market and to pedal up, and that's where the COVID came.
March 2020, I remember we met that time as well.
So that's where we were. But by then we were confident that we have got the secret sauce of what consumer needs in the market, how autos, the concept of combining the discovery and the easy financing and flexibility to own a vehicle at his choice is becoming the first preference for the customer. Who is this customer and how I want to go about it? So I would say that piece was pretty much solved and we were very much ready with it. And I think pandemic actually has given acceleration to our kind of a concept, right? Because post-pandemic, people don't want to use public transport. They want to have their own vehicle. In India, if you want to have your own vehicle, two-wheeler is the only and the prime option for you, right? Today, it's a mass product.
Yeah.
So two-wheeler, there is a traction which we are seeing in the two-wheeler acceptance. Second, being a utility product, we could clearly see that this is one product where the defaults have been low. When we talk about lending, the larger piece comes as paisa dena asaan hai. Lena bhai, ab mushkil hai, right? So that's where, again, auto has been very strong because we had a product which is a utility today. Customer cannot even afford to get this vehicle away from him. And hence, if he might default on some other payments, on credit cards or other loans, but on two-wheeler loan, we are seeing people want to pay kid money because this vehicle is used by his father, his daughter, his son to go to take tuitions, his son to go to take some grocery from the market. And for this, he needs this vehicle. Yeah. So he cannot afford to lose this vehicle in a time of COVID. And that's why we see the collection performance has been much better for us compared to the other aspects of the business. Right?
Yeah.
Second had been the EV revolution coming across, right? The electric vehicles coming in, definitely that is the promise. That is the future. And being a new product, that's where, again, we had an edge because our concept has always been built in a way that customers can keep the vehicle, use it for a certain fixed tenure and keep upgrading. And hence, we have a kind of a strong operations being built, which is not built by any time, any banks or NBFCs being done earlier before. And our understanding of core two-wheeler category has been the strength. We were able to kind of roll out our products in this category much faster and better compared to others. And just to share, we have got seen the performance of EVs much better today than the normal personal scenario. And that's what is becoming an attraction point, even for our lending partners on the platform, right? So again, our strategy has been to play on the strength. The strength is what we know, and then double it down as the opportunity comes. And I think COVID came up with a very right opportunity. Obviously, the times were tough, but that tested us and kind of brought us in light to all the partners that what Otto is doing is something excellent, and they should get the credit for it.
Got it.
You know, one of the things that I want to interject is, if we hadn't done Ola Electric, I don't think we would have found Otto. Because they pivoted to two-wheeler, and they were thinking of two-wheeler financing. And because you mentioned the EV financing, and we were talking about that with Ola Electric and Bhavish. And that's when it got us thinking that, what's happening there? We haven't looked at it. Yeah. And then we said, we know Sumit.
We know only one company in this space who's trying to do something here.
And that's how we stumbled back on you.
Yeah. Going back on like Sumit's point of key, people don't default on two-wheelers, right? Which is very peculiar, right? Because Vikram, I know you was like, you've been doing this for like 10 years investing
in negative.
You were negative. We've seen like any listed player we pick up, right? Like the NPAs are very high.
Yeah.
Right, so what did you see in Otto versus on the other lenders that you have seen before?
No,
what's the edge?
I remember when you first said two-wheeler financing, and I said, let's not do it. Right? And because it was just something that I've seen across a period of years. And going back to the previous question on commerce plus financing, what is the difference between commerce plus financing and commerce? Commerce, you can sell to anyone.
Right.
In commerce plus financing, you can only sell to someone. And as long as you select the people well, you can actually extract more value than commerce plus financing from that someone. And I think that's what he's doing. And so you also educated me, and we went back and looked at multiple big banks' books. And like HDFC has built a big profitable book in two-wheelers.
Yeah.
So there is a set of people, someones that you can target, and you will be able to extract value from it. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give away how you're doing it, but I think he's used the digital in a very smart way to figure out how to target those people that the best players in the market really want, and then give them a value prop which says, okay, I will automatically choose Otto. Because in some ways my cost of ownership, like his brother's cost of ownership across Gujarat to Bangalore.
I think the transportation cost was more than the cost of the...
How do I optimize that cost of ownership across multiple ownerships, multiple moves, multiple upgrades? And how do I optimize it in a way which actually is a win-win for both you and the user? And that's what drew us to Otto. Now, it's all early. It's working, but it's all early. And we're believers in the journey that you can actually scale it.
Yeah.
So just to add on Vikram's point, right? So if we see the data, right, in last few years, the digital penetration for, especially in this category, right, who is the customer who buys two-wheeler in India, right? The major targeted audience is in the age group of 23 to 36, right? It's a digital millennial Generation Z customer, right? So if you see the Google report also, it's been published, they say 9 out of 10 customers who buy two-wheelers are directly or indirectly influenced by digital news and content.
Hmm.
It's huge. You're talking about 9 out of 10, right? It's a huge number.
Essentially, decision is made before you order.
Exactly, right? Whether the customer believes it or not, the decision has been made.
Hmm.
And that's what Otto is trying to take a harp upon, that considering we are able to create that discovery-led channel where a customer gets to get a test ride at home, do a virtual experience if you want to, and then decide whether this vehicle is right for you. And by the choice, because you made a decision of buying a vehicle on other platform, you get a much more flexible and affordable financing option at comfort of home. Why would he go to any other channel? And that's what is working for us, right? And that's what is working for the customer. I would not say for me, it's working for the customer.
Yeah.
Because if he has made a mind and he knows this is the bike I want, and getting something where I have much more flexibility and affordability, why would I go to somewhere else? And I think that's what has worked well, and the idea is to just double down and execute in a much better fashion.
Yeah, got it. So give us a flavor of what's coming up, right? How are you looking to scale this, right? I think you're in five cities now, but I think the plans are pretty ambitious. So give our viewers a little bit of glimpse of what's coming in the next 12 months.
So obviously one thing, contrary to investors' advice, while the projections and everything is important, we go very simple. It's 2x growth quarter and quarter. That's the only thing that matters to us. Are we growing 2x quarter and quarter? See, if the markets are huge, whether there is COVID, there is known COVID, unless the markets are completely closed, we are still very small. We are just scratching the surface. Nothing should stop us to grow at that pace. So it's very simple, Funda. The concept is simple. For me, for my team, grow 2x quarter on quarter. That has to be the growth. And if you're able to make it in a year, you'll always see a big difference coming. Next year, see a big difference coming. I think that's the simple way we are working across. And want to make sure that we keep doing it in the right way.
Yeah. And these board meetings have become very simple.
Two eggs. Everything else falls behind.
Vikram, what do you think, right, like as auto scales so rapidly, right, and you've seen some journeys of so many lenders, right, what are the things a lending company who's growing rapidly should look for?
I think he says it better than I do, but his focus on getting the money back and he's in a sense in an asset-backed financing play. Getting the money back, where is the vehicle if I can't get the money back? And can I extract value from that? Luckily, he's done it for many, many years.
Yeah.
And that's been his life for many, many years. And sometimes, you know, founders' lives come full circle. All the things that he did before at Credar give him the unique ability to actually be able to do this business in a way where he can reset. First locate, then get, and then resell.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for us as we scale. And then it's the more regular things of today. I think every person in the team has that cost collections focus, right?
Yeah.
When you walk around in their office, it's palpable.
Hmm.
And now they're going to grow very fast. How does each and every next employee that's coming in, imbibe that in their culture, that they're growing as fast, but keep that focus around collections. That's going to be the biggest challenge. But I'm excited to watch it.
Got it. So with just on team, right? Like, so what do you look for people when you're hiring? What are, I think, two or three qualities? At least talk to us a little bit about your core team. How did you hire them? And then what are you looking for whenever you're making the next hire?
So, see, I think that's also one of a key, I'll say, learning that I had doing these four ventures, different time, different period, and also at a different age of myself, all the learnings are there. Building team is definitely fundamentally the one of the topmost and the toughest job for an entrepreneur, right? Building the right team. Like, team building is easy, but building the right set of team is most important. Especially at the core team level, the founding member level, we have been very, very cautious in a way to say who is going to make the cut. And you get criticism also for that when it's possible, but I think that's how it has worked well for us. Important here has been the complementary skills that you bring on the table, right? You don't need people who are just yes-sayers to you as a founder, right? You need people to challenge the perception that you might have, because everyone has its own expertise. And I might not like this 5 years back, but I can now publicly say that this is what you need to know and accept as an entrepreneur, that you need people who are smarter than you. And they might, obviously, you might have a largest vision for this company and the best vision that you will have for this company, but there will be people who will execute a piece much better and a sharper way than you. And you need those people, right? So having a team, one who has complementary skills to you.
But how do you assess if this person is smarter than you?
So spend time, drink beers with them. I would say have regular, very natural discussions. I don't think these are interviews.
Mm.
Like, one thing I realize is interactions. And I made it now kind of mandate, at least in my discussions, even I interview a product manager or a HR guy, I pitch in first. I spend first 5 minutes to say why I'm building on and what is different here.
Mm.
So because that gives him also a comfort that, look, this is interaction. I'm not here that someone is going to bombard me questions and I just need to answer in the best possible way, right? It's an interaction. I'm here to tell you what I have done, I'm doing, and he'll do.
You know, we were having a drink before the deal, and two things stood out from that discussion. One was, he said, I'm going to pitch him first. and then I said, why? He said, one, exactly this, that I'm setting the tone for the discussion, but then it's also, I might get a customer. But the other thing was that interact with them in every possible sort of
situation.
And, you know, you said peers, walks, whatever. right, and really get to know them and get under their skin.
Coming back to it, so one is the you need to understand the skills that brings to the table where you see the you have the maybe these are not your the best friends and you need right people. Second, connect to the vision. I think if people do not, people are coming just because you are going, you have raised funds, it's not going to work. Show them, you need to show them the dark side of it, right? and get them to know what's going to come on them being part of this core team and taking up a larger leadership role. And how do they react to it? How do they take it, right? If यदि उसको जाना होगा तो वो चार दिन बाद आके भी चले जाएगा if the picture doesn't look rosy as he has felt for, right? So important to give him that filler and get his buy on it. If you get it, then people come with the complete I would say buy in that yes, I'm in for it and I believe in the team and I'm going to be here for long run. So I think these are the factors that we have always kept in mind, able to get good people. Like we have our CFO who has the risk and finance. I met him when I was just, I would say the company was not even incorporated, because I knew that this is something that we've not done, right? Obviously, yep. As an entrepreneur, we are always ambitious, want to do things which we've never done. Hum kar lenge, right? But you need people also. So we were on the scout from day one that we need someone who understands risk, who understands finance, lease much better than us. And obviously in the process to figure out, it took us almost 6 to 8 months to kind of discover, get our conviction, get his conviction to get on board and work, right? And today he has been part of it from the day one, right? So while officially 6 months later the company started, but yes, he has been there. So that shows the result, right? It's not, so I might be aggressive sometime, but he will bring the things on the table where he has his perspective, manage $150 million asset under management kind of a book. So that expense helps, right? So that is another piece. My partner Harsh, right? He has a very different vibes and different character. And I think from a business point of view, I don't see it right, but and from a process point of view, from the analytics point of view, from a tech point of view, that makes complete sense. So you need to have such people who have a different view. You share a similar vision, but you have different thought process, and then you come on the table to give the best of it.
Got it.
I don't have that much to add.
Yeah.
I told you guys I'll ask one out of syllabus
question
to both. But next fintech startup that you want to fund? Not the company, but the sector.
You'll hear about it in the next week.
You're not getting off that easy.
Yeah. So at Matrix, we've done a lot in payments. We have done Razorpay, which is online. We have done MSwipe, which is offline payments. And we've done GoQuick, which is actually in the cash on delivery side of it, making cash on delivery a much better experience for customers as well as merchants. I think one payment problem that I personally faced myself, and I don't see it solved, is cross-border. I'm really paying a loan in the US. I find that process really hard. And when I talk to people who are doing business outside India, it's supremely hard for them. It is not cost effective. The experience is very broken. So I think something on the cross-border space, either like a cross-border neobank or in the lending side, on the payment side, right, that's something that I'm looking for.
If you're not doing auto, what would you be doing?
I'm not doing auto.
Which startup?
Yeah, so obviously, again, interesting question. Because when I started auto, I had one more concept that I kind of thinking of and trying to see if that makes sense. So I was working more on the retail front. I think now there are multiple startups who are kind of reaching to there in different angles. But my thesis was that one side we have got this Amazons and Flipkarts of it, and other side we are getting this Reliance and DMarts coming in a big way, right? But yet today, the base economy has been those small kirana and grocery stores in and out, right? And the idea was that how do you kind of enable them through a digitized manner so that they become as, I would say, proficient to compete in a localized way like the Amazons of the world. So that was something that I was working on. And again, it was also full stack. So my ideas are generally full stack. It doesn't end with just being a software. So it was also completely full stack and operational kind of a model. But that's what I believe, because again, it comes with a base experience, right? You've seen kirana stores all around, right? And you connect personally to people there. And you have the kind of trust. But yes, they are lacking today because of the technology, because of the branding, the marketing, and they can't afford it. So what we can do to kind of bring them under one umbrella to enable and keep doing it? So that might be
That business, the delivery is again two-wheelers. So it's like literally all comes back to delivery is part of it. He'll be financing bikes of the delivery boys also.
Excellent. Sumit, I think we can keep talking to you for hours. This has just been a fantastic interaction. I think I've taken over his closing. thank you for doing this, but couldn't be more excited to partner with you and looking forward to the journey.
Same here. So I think finally fortunate to work along with Metrics. It's been long time I've been in interaction with, and very happy that finally Sarthak and we have been able to connect, and then Vikram kind of brought in his vision and belief in the auto's mission. And finally, we are together. So very happy, and hopefully, we'll make it right.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much for listening in. This is Sarthak signing off. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.